If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And I want us to read these important words to us this morning. We're going to start at verse 42. If you remember, this series that we're in right now is our core values series. And we're going through systematically and pointing things out. Today, we get to the point of serve. And so I actually have highlighted in the scripture for us this morning the specific verses that deal with the early church and their desire to serve. Because again, the model for Trinity is not coming from me. It's not coming from the leadership. The model for Trinity is coming from His Word. It's found in Acts chapter 2. Verse 42 through 47. Would you read with me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added, who added? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. So just a quick review. I want us to go through again. And as you see these icons are going to serve for us as a representation of our core values. You're going to see these kind of all over the place. And they're going to inform you what is the purpose of what we're doing and why are we doing it. And I'm going to tell you this right now from up front so you can hear me say this. If something that we do doesn't meet one of these core values, guess what? We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Time is too precious. The work of the kingdom is too precious, and we don't have the ability or the time to just waste those things. Amen? So say these with me as they pop up on the screen. The first one, worship and prayer. Connect. Grow. Serve. And go. Again, today is all about serving. And serving stands for the short word for ministry. So ministry is our focus this morning. And when we look at the beginning, all the way at the beginning in Genesis, and we see the story that God writes for His people, He's writing a story that calls us to serve. And even when you go all the way back to the garden, you see this call of God to serve Him through His creation. Now, as we go a little bit further forward, then we see Moses, and he's trying to teach the Israelites, and he's trying to show them God's desire for them is to serve. So in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 through 13, this is what it says. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul. And to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Serve the Lord God, not just with your heart, but with your soul. Now you have to understand, when Moses would been saying this to the Israelites, their understanding of soul had so much huge ramifications. He was actually pointing out, so the Hebrew word here for soul is nephesh. Everyone say nephesh. Nephesh is it's a good Hebrew word to describe the soul. And it actually meant to embody an entire person. So he's asking them, not just love me with your heart, because that's the emotional side of it. But he's saying, love me and serve me with your soul, with everything, your whole life. Don't leave anything out. Everything you do, do it as if you're serving me. So, the best part is we serve a God who puts that commandment into Moses and Moses shares it with his people. But we serve a God that never asks us to do anything that he is not willing to do himself. Amen? That's good news. That's good news because trust me, there are many, many world religions that you have to do things for whatever the God or the deity that you're serving. Right? Our God says, not only do I ask you to do that, but I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to come and I'm going to do it myself because I'm never going to ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do. So in John chapter 13, we read a story about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And the story stands as an incredible and ultimate example of what Jesus does as he stoops down. He gets lower than his disciples. He symbolically and physically places himself at their feet and says to them in that moment, "Now this is what I want you to do for each other." Turn with me to two passages of Scripture this morning. Matthew 20. Start at verse 20 there. And then the second one will be Luke 15. So our first scripture this morning is going to be Matthew 20. Our second scripture is going to be Luke chapter 15. So in Matthew 20, we see the mother of James and John coming to Jesus in order to ensure that they would have a position of authority among in Jesus' kingdom. And I think to myself, really? You know, James and John, you can tell this is how young the disciples are. Their moms are still fighting their battles, right? So mom comes in and she's like, you know, and I love it because the interchange is Jesus is like, you don't know what you're asking, okay? By the way, you don't have a clue what you're asking me to do. And it's not even my right or authority to do it. And so she comes and all the other disciples, they're really ticked off, you know? They're ticked off because they didn't think to call their moms to come over and meet with Jesus. So we look at Matthew 20, verse 25 through 28. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." I don't want you to miss the call here. I don't want you to miss the call for our lives here. He's not just talking about a strategy for greatness. He's talking about the cost. He's talking about the cost. You see, in God's kingdom, if you want to be great, you need to serve each other. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, because God's economy is totally different than our economy. So if you want to be first, then you need to be a slave to one another. Now that's a high calling. That's a high calling. That's not easy to do. And it wasn't easy for the disciples to hear Jesus saying these words. And then he wraps it up with this little zinger, right? I love this. This is Jesus' little zinger. Jesus says to them, you know, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Oh, and by the way, I'm asking you to live just like you know in Deuteronomy when God, my Father, asked the Israelites to live. I'm doing the same thing, and I'm going to do it with my whole life. Every part of me is going to show you that I came to serve. Jesus was radical in his living and his teaching. So now turn with me to Luke chapter 15. This is going to be another example of Jesus' radical teaching about serving. So now Luke 15, starting at verse 1. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him." Now, this is funny, and you need to do something for me, because I just envisioned this while I was writing my message, that we could do this, because this is comical to me. I'm going to read that verse again, and then when we get to sinners, I want you to go ahead and put your Bibles down, look up on the screens if you need the words. But when we get to sinners, I want to see everybody do air quotes. Okay? I want everybody to do air quotes because this is hilarious. You guys seen Friends, you know, air quotes. He's like, "Doing it wrong, Joe." So anyway, so can we do that as a little experiment this morning? It says here, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering together." You know, it's got to be bad to be a tax collector when you have your own little section that doesn't even get included in the sinner part of that. Right? Like, that's, I mean, you're totally outside of, like, the sinners as, you know, the Scripture points to it. And I love the fact that the Scripture does that. I love the fact that the Scripture just puts the air quotes, you know, the finger quotes, the sinners, you know, because the funniest part is, the writer in the Scripture, as being inspired by God, God's going, "By the way, you know, right, who the real sinners are in the story? It's not who Jesus is eating with. It's who is coming in and bombarding his meal." Okay? Those are the real sinners. Yeah. Finger quotes, air quotes. So, and then also tax collectors were there too, but they've got a whole other rung of hell, I guess. That's, I don't know. Hey, it's the Word, right? I don't make this stuff up. Do you think that when when God was shaping that story out for Jesus and he's meeting with him and he says, "Now, Jesus, I want you to die for the sins and the sinners of the world and tax collectors." you think that? All right, verse 2. So, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and he eats with them." Well, duh. You know, think about it. If you're going to serve those who need to be served, you need to go to them. If you're going to serve those who need to be served, you need to go to them. Hear me say this. It will be too late if you wait for them to come to you. It will be too late. So if you look back in Jesus' life, he didn't waste his time serving the people of the church. He didn't waste his time doing that. He spent all of his time with the people that needed to know that they were loved no matter what. He spent all of his energies and efforts serving those who needed to be served. He assumed that the people that were supposed to get it were getting it. And he spent a lot of his effort on the other side of that. And you know, you have to understand, we are called to serve everyone. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's bad for us to serve within the church. That would be terrible of me to say. But if we use Christ as our example, then we need to look at what he did. If he serves as our example, then we need to take note, who did he serve? He served people outside of the church. So he's having a meal with sinners and tax collectors, and he knows the religious leaders are ticked off. He knows that they're upset. So he teaches them this parable. Now, when you hear this parable, typically when we hear it, we tend to lean more towards this being an evangelistic parable. A parable of going out to the lost, which it is, but I'm going to put a little bit of a different spin on it. Did you expect anything less? This is really cool because God just shapes these things out, and I'm just like, oh, no way. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of going crazy as I'm writing. So this is the coolest thing. So I want us to read this with a different set of lenses this morning. Verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep. Now, he would have said this on purpose. He would have used the word 100 because to them that would have meant great wealth, riches. They would have been completely wealthy if they had 100 sheep. So that's important. He uses that word. So he's talking to kind of wealthy shepherds. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. No big deal, right? Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now let's stop here for a second. We kind of need to take a time out with Jesus' teaching here because he's saying something that I think we sometimes miss. We need to look deeper exactly what he's saying. He's saying, now, wouldn't you leave 99 good, healthy sheep that are doing great just to go after the one sheep? Wouldn't you do that? He's challenging them. He's asking them this question. And in his mind, the answer is obviously yes. But what we have to realize this morning, when Jesus was asking this question to them, the answer wasn't yes. The answer was no. No, you would never leave 99 healthy sheep out in the open country to go after one. You've got 100 sheep. Let the one go. That's what everybody was thinking about when Jesus is teaching them this lesson. I love this. I love the fact that Jesus is sitting there and he goes, listen, you've got 100 sheep. When one walks away and gets lost, don't you go after it? You know? And the truth is, everybody sitting in that room is looking at Jesus and they're going, what are you saying? No, we don't go after the one. We let it go because it doesn't even want to be there in it anyway. It doesn't want to be with the rest of the group. So we're just going to let it go. But Jesus, again, in his economy, he's teaching something radically different. He's saying, every single one of my sheep are important. Amen? Come on, we going there? Are we going there? Because here's the good news. He's radically challenging them to a different set of standards and living. And they're not catching it. They're like, no. I'm not going to leave 99 healthy sheep out in the open to be mauled by wolves or to be, you know, taken away from me or stolen. Or what's going to happen to them? I don't even have time to get them into maybe a cave to keep them safe. I'm not going after the one. I'm letting the one go. I mean, it could be miles away by now. It could even be dead by now. I'm not going to waste my time looking for a dead sheep. So that's what they're thinking. By the way, like I said, the sheep that wandered off probably doesn't even want to be with the group anyway. So, and here's the amazing thing. The story now from this point shifts from evangelism to serving. Verse 5. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and he goes home. Now, the picture we all have of this moment is this. Do we not all remember, you know, especially if we grew up in the church, we know this picture. We've seen this picture. I mean, Jesus has this tiny little 35-pound neck warmer of a sheep on, you know, and like he's not struggling. Like he's holding on to a staff with one hand and he's got, I mean, he is Jesus. So I'm like, yeah. So he's holding on to this tiny little lamb. The one thing that we have to realize is this image really distorts the reality of a shepherd going after the one lost sheep. Because the true image of what would happen is the sheep that would have walked off, it would have wandered off on purpose. It wouldn't have been a lost lamb because the little ewes, the little lambs, they actually would have stayed really close to their moms. And they wouldn't have gotten lost because they never would have left the mother's side. So the ones that tend to wander off and they're like, I'm out of here. These are going to be 100-pound male sheep. These are going to be gnarly sheep with like their hair is going to be all matted and they're going to be nasty. When the shepherd shows up, even if he does go out to that one lost sheep, that sheep is going to try to buck him. He's going to confront him. They're going to go after each other. And that shepherd's going to have to wrestle a 100-pound sheep to the ground, put it on his shoulders and carry it back. Miles over rugged terrain. Do you see the imagery that Jesus is portraying to these people? He's saying, every single one of my sheep are important. Every single one of them. And so it's not this tiny little lamb that would have been, you know, real easy for a shepherd to put on their shoulders. It would have been a behemoth. It would have been a huge, nasty sheep that, again, I can't point this out enough, probably doesn't want to be there anyway. Now, what is that picture for us in serving? You know, because this really is a story of love. This is a symbolism. He's telling these religious leaders and he's telling these sinners and tax collectors, you are important. And he says to them that I will drop everything. I will sacrifice anything for that lost sheep who, again, doesn't even want to be there. That's incredible love. And it's the love that I desperately want to have for the lost sheep in my life. That's the love that I want to have. So, who are the lost sheep in your life? Who are the lost sheep in your life? Who can you serve right now in order to show this level of sacrificial love? Going after them, even when they show signs of not wanting anybody to rescue them. Because it's what Christ called us to. It's what Christ has called us to. It's written right here in his story. All of us at one point or another, we're like that lost sheep. But thanks be to God that we have a shepherd that goes out and searches and doesn't stop searching until he finds that sheep. And then he puts that sheep on his shoulders and he brings him home. Thank goodness that we have a shepherd like that. I can't tell you how many times in my life where I have just needed my shepherd to put me on his shoulders and carry me back to safety. What would it look like if each of us lived this way? What would it look like if we recognized the lost sheep in our lives and we showed them unconditional, sacrificial love with no desire for anything in return? Because, you see, serving and loving others the same way as you were served and loved is what God, again, has called us to. Now, I have to warn you. You're going to get beat up. You're going to get bucked. You're going to experience things about life in that moment that you wonder, why am I doing this? This person doesn't even want to be rescued. But, you know, Jesus didn't give up on you. Jesus constantly pursued you. So why would we think for a second that we should ever give up? That we should ever stop? You know, it's easy for me to be here and to tell you all the different ways that you can get involved in ministries here at the church. And truthfully, we have a lot of great ministries here at the church that really kind of serve the needs of the church. But today, my greatest concern is for you to find areas to serve outside of the church. That's my greatest concern. You heard me say this a few weeks ago. I want to be known as a church filled with people who don't just come to church, but they are the church. That's my desire for Trinity. That's my desire for us, that we would be known as a people that don't just come to church, we are the church. We pray and we commission missionaries all the time. Last week, Candace Smith, before she left for the Czech Republic, we had a time of prayer with her. We commissioned her to go and to do incredible things for God. But the truth is, that's an incredible calling on Candace's life. But I want to remind you something this morning. We're all called. We're all missionaries. Our mission field might not be the Czech Republic. It might not be Haiti. But our mission field can be our car. It can be the library. It can be the fast food place that we go to. It could be doing life with that barista that you know by name at the Starbucks you go to pretty much every day over on McDowell. Not that I'm speaking from experience. That's our call, to be missionaries in our land. You know, and that's something that we do daily together, all of us. You know, it's amazing that the Spangenbergs have a motto. And our motto, if you've ever been out to eat with us, you'll hear us say this. Well, let's make sure we leave it cleaner than we found it. Leave it cleaner than we found it. That's just a simple little motto that we live by. And the only reason I'm sharing this example is because I'm talking about literally at the simplest level of what it means to serve Christ. Out in the community, leave it cleaner than we found it. And we've had more opportunities to share our faith because people just kind of get like a little kind of weirded out when we start, you know, like pre-bussing tables and stuff, you know what I mean? Or I go back in the back and I say, hey, my 3-year-old son just used your floor as his own personal trash can. Can I borrow a broom? You know, and they're like, what do you need a broom for? I'm like, oh, it's okay. You know, so I'll take the broom and I'll go out there and I'll start sweeping underneath the table. And you'll see real quick people come running up and they're like, oh, no, sir. And I was like, it's okay. It's okay, you know. And so our motto is, let's leave it cleaner than we found it. What if as a church, as a people, as Trinity, we adopt the motto, leave it cleaner than we found it? What if our influence on an entire community, because, you know, it's hard reaching 146,000 people. Is it not? It's hard to reach 192,000 people in Aurora. It's hard to reach 895,000 people in DuPage County. It's hard. But what if each of us takes on the responsibility to say, you know what, we're going to leave it cleaner than we found it. And I'm not just talking about at restaurants. But what if that was our mark on the community, that people started to go, there's something different about those people, right? There's something different about them. Because you know what? There should be something different about them. There should be something different about the people of Trinity Church of the Nazarene, amen? And I'm not talking about doing it to be all high and mighty, because if you're doing it for that reason, you know what you get categorized? Sinners. Am I right? But if you do it because God has called you out to be missionaries in that land. So, I want you to hear something from me this morning. Next time you get frustrated at work, I want you to consider this. They may be paying you to do a job, but what they're really doing is paying you to be a missionary. Wrap your brain around that. They might be paying you to do a job, but what if you had the mentality that they're paying you to be a missionary? How incredible would that be, that your work experience is not just a place where you collect a check, it's a place where you realize, wow, you're paying me money to come to work every day and to live out my faith. That's radical. That's living in the act of service. And I want you to hear me say this. What you do is how you serve, and what you do matters. What you do is how you serve, and how you serve matters. Let me say that again. What you do is how you serve, and what you do matters. It's interchangeable. Do you hear that? It's interchangeable. What you do matters. You're a school teacher. What you do matters. You're a domestic engineer. What you do matters. You work at a bank with integrity. What you do matters. You push a button on a computer every day. What you do matters. Because it doesn't matter what context you're in, people are watching you. They're waiting for you to do something that's radical for God. And the amazing thing is you're not necessarily looking for radical ways to live for God. You're just trying to just live for God. In the simple things. In the simple things. Just saying, God, I'm going to live in total abandonment and surrender to you because you called me to serve. And so I'm going to do everything that I do to serve you. In the mundane, in the everyday, in the ordinary, still I serve you. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to come up and to get ready. And we're going to end this service on a high note. And they don't know this, but I want them to do Lay Me Down Again, okay? And because I really feel like that's an opportunity for us to say, listen, I'm going to lay down everything that I feel is about me to live for you. Amen? And I'm going to leave here, God, and this is a commitment you make with God. You don't make this with me or the church. You make this with God. God, I need to commit to you that I'm going to start looking for the ways in which I live and how those ways connect to serving others. And serving you, more importantly. Amen? So, and 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, this is what the word says. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we end our service in a moment, an opportunity of worship, and ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. If serving isn't desirable to you, I'm looking in Joshua. You know, Joshua looked at a group of people and he says, listen, you can serve anybody that you want. I'm going to caution you to do that. You know, he's going to say, listen, you're not going to want to do that. And then Joshua makes a bold statement. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Woo! That's what I'm talking about. Now let us go. Let us make a difference. Let us serve Him in everything that we are, in every way that He calls us out to be serving in His world, in His community, all around us. Let's take this county back for Christ. Amen? Let's take your neighborhoods back for Christ. Amen? And it starts with us. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.